from staff on boards and commissions.
Thank you. As you will no doubt remember, we've been thinking about our approach on boards and commissions really as an entity for a few years now. In fact, in 2009, council expressed their first desire to explore thinking about boards and commissions. And earlier this past year, we presented to council some of staff's thoughts about how to move forward. We had 60-some-odd boards at the time. I think we're up to 61 now. Is that right, Sheila?
I haven't counted recently.
And if all the changes were approved, it would drop to something like 43 or something. So you at that point asked for staff to go back, communicate all of this to the boards and commissions, gather feedback, see what that did to our team. And so we did that, and the boards, by and large, did respond with their thinking about various ideas. Sometimes they had new ideas to present, and sometimes, well, some didn't respond. So so we had the waterfront. Every kind of response was received. So we took some time and thought through that and boiled it down to what we thought would be comfortable recommending to council. This is what you see in front of you. I just want to recognize Sheila, who has done, you know, the lion's share of the actual work on all this, while we've worked together closely on how, you know, our thinking about this. So the work you see in front of you really represents a collaboration of both offices, city clerk, city manager, and the best thinking of staff. So with that, shall we just proceed down the list?
Yeah, what I would like to do, we'll obviously have to make motions during the meeting, right?
Later tonight, yes.
Right, tonight. But what I'd like to do is to go through each of these one by one, because I've spoken to some members of a couple of commissions that have...
Excuse me, can someone help that woman get in the front door? Thank you. Sorry.
That I think have changed my approach. But in general, I think this is an excellent document. It shows a lot of thought. It gives us a lot of guidance in how to proceed. But I thought what we should do is to go through it one by one and talk about it, and then make the motions at the appropriate time during the report.
Very well. We will do our best to keep track of your will.
And just as a follow-up to your short presentation, you indicated that the commissions or boards had follow-up feedback, and I didn't see that presented.
It's in the email that I sent to you all on Friday. It was a big, thick packet, and the spreadsheet corresponds with the page numbers of that PDF file. I mean, I sent it Thursday, sorry, right before all the agenda stuff that I emailed out.
A lot to cross-reference there, but it's a significant packet, and at this point, I believe you do have everything. Obviously haven't seen that part, but there is the background is there. Well, shall we dive into airport advisory?
Absolutely.
Fundamentally, here we're just recognizing the fact that Missouri Corps is really undergone a significant amount of change, and I think what we all agree on there, the airport advisory board and staff, is that we probably should basically remove CORE and add READY in their place. So that would be what we recommend. So no real change to the board, just that one member.
As I was reading it, a thought I had was if indeed ultimately some of the hotel tax goes towards the airport, whether we should also add a convention and visitors advisory board member to the airport board.
Would you like to have us remember that and come back at some future date?
Yeah,
I think if that happens, or
I would like the input of both the airport advisory board and the convention and visitors board advisory board on that.
That idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me. So what do...
Sorry. Here's one.
So but you, the staff has recommended replacing CORE with READY, and Barbara, you want to also add who?
A member of the...
Does the CVB want to be on this board?
Well, that's what I'm asked. I'd like them to have input on whether they're...
Well, why don't we ask them? We can always come back with that.
Yeah.
So the motion that will be to replace the CORE position with the READY position. And then we can ask staff input as to whether or not CVB ought to be on the airport advisory board.
Well, I want not only staff input, but CVB input.
Understood. Yeah,
I kind of consider
any airport staff. Board.
All right. Next is the Armory Board.
Well, this is straightforward. It hasn't had active membership in 10 years. We'd like to take it off the books.
Okay. Bicycle pedestrian.
So we recommend removing the P&Z liaison position. You'll see that throughout. Really, it's just a reflection of the sheer workload of the P&Z commission, and asking for the liaison seemed like a lot. And of course, P&Z agrees with that. You'll see that throughout. So this would just recommend removing that liaison position. Now, the bike and ped did say they preferred to maintain that relationship. But we really feel like it's a lot to ask of P&Z to do.
I think what might happen, I know this was discussed when I was on P&Z, that some of these, you know, for bike ped and also for energy environment, you know, we may want to have a six-month scheduled presentation from each of these commissions to P&Z at their regular board meeting. You know, if they feel that, if they both of those commissions have expressed an interest in maintaining the liaison, but I think it really is too much to ask of our P&Z commissioners.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, if the liaison relationship is important, when I was on Bicycle and Pedestrian Commission, I said, well, why don't, you know, if we're the ones that are interested, why don't we have a liaison with P&Z? And nobody volunteered. I think that's...
Isn't that funny the way that works?
And I felt that, like, you know, if the relationship was wanted by Bike and Pedestrian Commission, they would have a better result if they took the responsibility of making sure that that they're getting the information they need and presenting the information they need. And P&Z at the time even recommended, you know, there's an issue, because Bicycle and Pedestrian Commission, the conversation can be rather informal. A member of the public, for example, can just sort of join the conversation, and planning and zoning has a very full agenda and can't do that. So there would have to be some kind of mechanism, as Helen says, for recognizing and having presentations. But, you know, if the liaison relationship is wanted by those boards, if they could reverse who's responsible for doing that, I think there would... And I don't know if there's a way to sort of, when we take the liaison off, leave it open in the ordinance so that we don't have to do an ordinance to create a liaison in the future. I don't know if our attorney can think of something clever that'll make it happen so that we don't have to take action. They can take action when they want to do that.
I have to say, as a manager, I really like this idea of having maybe one meeting a year where we have, how about a board and commission congress, you know, where everyone comes together. And, or we could tee it up with specific commissions that have expressed interest in each other. And that changes over time, so that would allow that really to be fluid.
So I think that should just be a recommendation, in that we should adopt what's proposed here, and then it will evolve if it's meant to be.
Yeah, because, of course, the great secret of public meetings is that anyone can go. So any member of the Bicycle Pedestrian Commission can attend the P&Z meetings if they want to liaise, and you know, again, there's, you know, there needs to be a mechanism for the public to speak, but I think they're probably, you know, they could work something out.
And of course, there's nothing keeping them from attending each other's meetings,
right?
Anyway,
but they can formally be on the agenda also,
right? Yeah.
So your recommendation is to remove the P&Z commission liaison position.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, this does create...
The second part of it is to refer back to the Parks and Rec Commission as to whether they believe they should still be a liaison.
Well, if you take the liaison role off, that takes the number of members in Bike Ped to 10. Generally, we try to avoid even numbers, right? Odd keeps keeps things.
So are you recommending that we,
well, you,
that we remove the Parks and Rec, or are you recommending that we refer it back to them?
Well, we would think that might be, our thought is you should consider that. It makes sense to also remove the Parks and Rec liaison, but that is not an idea that has been discussed by the Parks and Rec Board, so you may want to refer that back to them. And
well, and the other thing is if Parks and Rec wants to have that liaison position, which in fact has worked, the Parks and Rec liaison has always been a regular attender, then just we would change the ordinance to add an 11th member.
Mike and Mike are here. Why don't we ask them? I mean, their informal opinion. I know it's not the board's opinion.
Look at those smiles.
Would that be a harm of doing that informally? I mean,
yeah. Well, see, that's
why don't we? Look, if we just remove the P&ZA liaison, we're down to 10. We can refer it back to Parks and Rec for their recommendation. They can suffer through 10 for a while, and we can. And it sounds like they have a very committed member right now, and it may make sense to continue that relationship. But why don't we just remove the P&ZA liaison and leave the other open for input from Parks and Rec? And we can always come back and deal with it, either add another member from somebody else to make it odd if we think that's necessary, or stick with 10. And, you know, because obviously there are a lot of times you don't have 10 people there. You know, you have 7, 8, 9 people out of these meetings, so you're probably going to have an odd number, a lot of meetings anyway. So we'll think about dealing with that. Let's go to the Board of Electrical Examiners. Now, I want to comment here that I had a conversation with Richard Schenker today, and he's on three of these boards, and I gave a copy of this. I don't know if everybody got a copy of it. He gave a very strong endorsement of keeping these boards and commissions as they are. Obviously, we have some problem with attendance of some of them.
Significant.
Right. Well, and again, I think for me, if we have a board or a commission with participants who are very energized and very committed and are really putting forth a lot of work, I would like to respect that. I think we can also point out our concern about participation. And we can leave it open. You know, we could leave these boards and commissions open and simply point out our concern about participation and allow them to deal with that. His point was that having lay people on these commissions, these trade commissions, is important because it avoids the appearance of contractors being anti-competitive.
Well,
so it's helpful,
right,
to have lay people with no vested interest on the boards and commissions.
No question. If I might just add a few comments, and just to give a little history of staff thinking. You know, we do compare ourselves to other places. We look around the country. Many cities don't run this through a board at all. It's just an administrative function. If you want a license, you come in. If you pass the test, there's your license. There isn't a law that requires us to have these commissions, these particular boards or commissions. This is a choice we made to do it this way. Our history is, and I'll just share with you some details, very significant quorum issues. Board of Plumbing Examiners in January, unsure if they met. There's no record in the record if they met, although they do reference something in the next meeting. The next two meetings, no quorum. Third meeting, they did have three members present, which was a quorum. Next two meetings, no quorum. and then the final meeting had a quorum. So two meetings out of seven had an actual quorum. Board of Electrical Examiners had three out of eight without a quorum. And when they do have a quorum, it is the bare minimum. Only three people ever show up out of six.
To be out of five voting.
Out of five voting, six total members. Thank you. Board of Medical Examiners, or Mechanical Examiners, not medical, sorry. they have had three voting members at four meetings, but they didn't hold meetings 4 months. So it's, and that's for various reasons. Now, the Building Construction Codes Commission is different. They do have quorums most of the time, so, or all the time, it looks like, this year. So our thinking went from merge all of those into the Building Codes Commissions to, well, trying to be responsive to Richard's thinking and a few others that, well, there might be value in having this sort of community involvement in the testing process. So let's have one commission. And maybe if we made one commission that did all the testing for electricians, mechanicals, and plumbing, maybe we could get enough people to show up and, quite honestly, have enough work to do to have a regular mission. So that's where our thinking has reached. Rather than just do it administratively, go ahead and have a board, but combine them into one, and that might be helpful. Now, we can take another approach, which is stress that we really do expect attendance, and we prefer minutes be kept, records of votes be kept. These are issues we've had, and that city staff should not be counted as a member of the board, which is a mistake that had happened a couple times. So these are fundamentals. We can work on those if you prefer. I think our staff view is a little more jaded and says structural change might be what's in order.
I guess for me, if we have committed members like Richard Schenker, I think what we've done is to show our concern about participation. And it's something we can review in 6 months, right? We could always come back and say in 6 months, let them think about it and let them decide if they think it would be better to have a single collaborative trades commission. So that's probably going to be my vote when that comes up tonight, and we'll see what everybody else has to say about it.
I like the idea of having a six-month, set time where we actually, put it on our calendar and look at that particular issue, because you're right. If we're having significant quorum issues, and while this may be one very interested, committed member, I think time will tell. I mean, 6 months, I think, is an adequate time to see if that quorum issue changes.
The issue I see, there are always vacancies on those commissions. It seems like they're on the list every time we do appointments, and no one ever applies for position on those commissions. So that leads me to believe that no wonder we have a problem getting quorum, because they're never a full commission. And that's what we need to work on, is getting those commissions full.
But I'd like the boards and commissions' input and ideas on how to make it work and what their suggestions are. And there's a whole range of possibilities. The one presented by staff seems to narrow it down to a very few members. So I like the 6 months idea with input from the board and commissions.
Okay. That'll be my motion then. Well, that we keep them intact and review it in 6 months.
All three of them?
Yeah.
Gary made the point I was going to make, and I'm wondering if there's a way to loosen the restrictions, because right now for each seat on some of these boards, there are specific professional requirements, and it may be that those are just too restrictive to get applicants.
Well, that's definitely that may be part of our problem. We have very strict prescriptions on who can fill each slot, so it master electricians.
I think that gives the commissions, now they know we're interested in if we have been too narrow in our requirements, and they can address that. And so it'll be interesting to see what their response to that is. I'd like to have all of them respond.
We could draft a letter asking those fundamental questions. How would you solve these apparent problems?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That sounds like a great solution.
Okay, the next one is Building Codes Commission.
This is sort of the parent of those for the BCCC. It has 10 regular members, 10 alternate members. It's been a real challenge to fill those 20 positions. Our view is really there is a sweet spot when it comes to boards and commissions, in our opinion, and that's the magic 7. Maybe that's because we're reflecting council, right? But 7 seems like you can, you know, that's a board you can fill, and it's an odd number, so you cover a lot of ground there. You rarely have tie votes, and you know, and to happen versus the big ones. So that's really our recommendation.
You're recommending that we reduce this commission to 7 members.
And then restructure it to consist of the list we have here, which is really kind of reflective of what it is now, but it just pulls that into a 7-member system versus, so there's a master electrician or a professional engineer, master mechanic, plumber, or a professional engineer experienced in that work. So you can see that list.
It's currently 10-member and 10 alternates?
That's right.
How many of the 10-member are full? How many vacancies do we have?
There are only 5 vacancies, and they're all alternate member vacancies.
So we have 10 voting members?
10 regular members. Perfect. And then 5 alternates, yes.
Currently, that's okay. Yeah.
So how do we get down to 7?
Right. And what does the commission think? I mean, did they weigh in on 7 versus 10? You know, I can see doing away with the alternates, but.
I don't believe on that specific question they've weighed in.
Says that they recommended against absorbing the electrical, mechanical, and plumbing boards with the Building Construction Codes Commission. They didn't want them all together.
Yeah, we contacted them after the initial report, which was in December, and that initial report was to combine everything and have Building Construction Codes Commission handle it, and that's what they responded on. And then based on everybody's comments, which we provided you all, then staff got together and discussed potential changes based on that input. So they were not specifically asked about this.
But we're sort of at this impasse with a lot of these commissions. They want to exist. They want to keep their existence, and yet they're not meeting, or applicants aren't applying. And so they're
meeting. Sort of they have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, it's sort of, isn't it incumbent on them to not just say, yes, we want to exist, but we want to exist, and this is how we're going to fill our quorum.
Yeah, and in this case, the BCCC does a significantly better job than the other ones.
Do we need to keep 10?
That's what I'm wondering, yeah.
And eliminate the alternates?
Was my thinking, actually. I agree.
Well, what we could do, if we're going to ask the others about this other thing, we could ask them about this specific idea.
All right. Why don't we send a letter to them and ask for their response to either going to 7 members or going to 10 members.
You probably need to go to an odd number.
Been working with 10, and it's
Obviously, again, the problem is that there's usually people not there. So
there's a point of information. At a typical meeting, there's 7 people that come. So it's
and I would leave
one
10.
That had all
7 regular members.
I would leave 10.
So we'll move to send a letter.
30% aren't showing up.
Care advisory. 70, care advisory, you're recommending that we eliminate care advisory board.
This is one where everyone pretty well agrees in the sense that we've had, you know, real issues obtaining quorums. Rarely is there ever full attendance at a meeting. The duties of the board are, as you see here, and at this point, we can accomplish that pretty easily without the obligation of a board.
Special Business District Board has been taken over by CID, and do you recommend eliminating?
Yeah, eliminate or suspend, whichever you prefer, really.
Okay. Vision Commission?
This is one where, you know, an evolving mission appears to be happening, right? So the Vision Commission did great work. It was very much a public process, and unlike what has been circulated recently, it was almost all public, not staff-driven at all. So it was very detailed. You've all seen it. 13 vision statements, you know, 50-some-odd sub-statements and hundreds of action steps. Largely, that's been accomplished, although not all. And so now that we've gone through a strategic planning cycle, which we'll be coming back with very shortly for you to approve, really it seems like a good opportunity to refresh the mission of that board. And so what we're recommending is it's time to rethink that soup to nuts approach where, you know, as we move forward, let me just find my place here. Really, the idea is to sort of update that to reflect the fact that there will be a strategic plan that exists for the city. There is a relationship in that between vision and mission and plan. But we're not going to, at this point, we've done that work. We've embraced visioning and strategic planning, and we're not looking to that board to do all the work on their own. So it's really a reflection of trying to catch up with reality. Recommendation is that
I need some clarification. Now, we have the Columbia Vision Commission that monitors implementation and gives us the yearly reports, which involves not only city action but community action also. Is that the same commission that this is directed at?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think they're doing really valuable work, and it's good for council to get those, as well as the community, to get those reports. I don't see it as redundant to the strategic planning process. Maybe they can just update the report to incorporate the strategic planning process for the city. But
and that's really kind
redundant.
Of what we're recommending is that we rework it so that it fits with where we are as a city. Right now, the establishing mission and stuff is very, very much.
And I'm assuming that the group that we have working on that is very diligent, that they would be looking at rehashing their or looking at refocusing their mission or vision, the existing committee that we have. Is that right? Because it looks like the feedback that we had from them that they were very willing to do that, that they would like to kind of look at their mission.
Yeah, they're. The response I got from Jan Weaver said that they made a motion at their meeting that said they agreed that we should probably relook at everything.
And that's not because the hard
it's
thing
not
for
eliminating
me,
it or
right.
Anything.
I mean that was a very, as you said, a public-driven, constituent-driven process, and you know that the findings were the findings. But what we do with those, I think, is probably something the commission would like to.
So your recommendation that we ask them to revise the legislation establishing and governing the Columbia Vision Commission basically is asking them for their input into how that commission should be restructured, if it needs to be. And it may not need to be.
And we can work with them on how to do that. We think it does just because, you know, when it was created, there was really no reciprocating.
Does that require action, or can they just not do that in their normal? We can ask for it, I guess.
But any indication of what you would like to see is very helpful in this situation.
Okay.
My only concern is that it not be staff-driven. I understand staff being wanted staff-driven. You know, the changes, I mean, I understand that we have a strategic plan. I think that has to be shared with them and all the work that went into that and how the two dovetail, but, you know, making sure that, you know, we're not overriding them. Because I think they've done an excellent job.
I think it needs to come out of largely that group.
Do we know approximately how many citizens participated in the visioning process?
I understand that there were hundreds, but
more than
1,000.
Okay. So we'll just follow your recommendation, which will involve substantial input from that commission.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I could envision is us presenting them when the strategic plan is finalized, sending that to them, explaining where, you know, what our new approach is, and asking them to recommend any changes that they would see fit. Now, obviously, it's your purview to do those changes, to make those happen if you want to.
Community Cooperation Board is self-explanatory. Downtown Clemmie Leadership Council, you recommend no changes.
Which is a change from the original, but I just want to point out that since the original recommendation, DLC is really energized and doing great work, so we...
EEC, you're recommending to remove the P&Z liaison. I guess one of the... I'm just kind of curious that I know that you like even numbers, but you have no control over how many people show up, and it's probably not common that everybody shows up. I may be wrong about this commission, but if you move it to 9 and you have one person not show up, you still have 8. You still have an even number or 3. Yeah? So it That's just right. seems to me that it's kind of hard to legislate an odd number of people being there. But at least your recommendation is to remove the P&Z liaison commission.
That's right.
Question: have you talked to the Environment and Energy Commission about the duties of what they do with the landscape trees?
Yes, in fact, they basically
this is their recommendation.
Yeah,
okay.
Their feeling was, you know, we already have 3 forestry focused.
That's interesting because I called the chair to get input just yesterday. And I got the opposite response because although we have water and light personnel and a director and really competent people, we have a water and light commission that has a public input through a commission. And, you know, environment and energy, I would say if they have some ideas or thoughts or things we're missing or directions to go in, that I would want to hear from them regarding landscape and tree preservation. So I wouldn't want to limit them. You know, they may address that or may not, but I wouldn't want to tell them they couldn't advise council on that.
And I don't think that we're saying they can't. What we ask them to do is consider taking that on. And from what I understand, and Barbara Buffalo is not here, but from what I understand from her, and then I think what they wrote back agrees with that, is that if council wanted them to take it on, they would, but they didn't know that it was necessary because you guys can make motions directing whatever to them at whatever time you want, and they can provide you guys reports on whatever whenever they wanted to.
Does that require action?
That they would if
no,
you guys
really, no change,
really right. wanted them to.
Okay. The only change is the liaison.
P&Z.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get about recommendation to eliminate.
Right. This it really was established when we got the first non-motorized transportation funds, and you know, really hasn't met, and we're just recommending that we eliminate that.
Yeah, the early meetings were very formative and very helpful. It's interesting that when we have a blue ribbon committee or a special committee that is for a specific purpose, that it doesn't automatically sunset when the purpose, in this case, get about the funding is going away, and many of the projects have already been chosen. So it's funny that it doesn't sunset automatically in the ordinance that...
It's not created by ordinance.
This one is...
It was created by resolution.
Press release.
So part of our work here is to do a lot of cleanup. This is one that wasn't created in the normal fashion. There are a number of those, and so our recommendations really are built around either formally making them a commission or just recognizing reality and letting it go away. So
it's interesting if they're not created by ordinance that we need an ordinance to dissolve it.
I talked to Fred about that, and Fred suggests, he said he would make a section in the ordinance just so it's officially off the books.
Well, we can let our attorney tell us how to do that. Let's move to historic preservation, which no recommendation.
Right.
Internet Citizens Advisory Group, sounds like it was a great idea when the internet was new.
That's exactly our thinking. It's and with our new website, you know, it's really, we have the look and feel we're going to have for at least a few more years. And at this point now, it's just adding content. So we felt like, why waste their time, really?
And on Mayor's commitment, Committee on Physical Fitness, just some minor cleanup details.
Yeah, again, it's just formally establishing it through our normal process.
Parks and Rec, no change. Personnel Advisory Board.
So the board is recommending a number of changes, although that has changed a few times, I believe. So I think we've captured the most recent communication from the board.
Right.
So your recommendation is to...
they've asked for some changes. We agree with them. We're recommending that we bring them forward.
One and two, and just one and two is what you're recommending, not three at this point.
They're working on three, but it's not going to happen
quickly. Okay, so one
quickly.
And two. Yeah, one and two, really.
P&Z, no change except for the liaison positions, right?
Right.
Public Communications Resource Advisory Committee recommending eliminate
right,
this, public communications resource.
Used to have a funding source that it would sort of dole out. At that point, that's gone, and it seems like a good time to eliminate the committee, given that's...
Public Transportation Advisory Commission.
So here's a bit of a difference in views. Communication was related to expanding the purview of the commission, getting a sort of a global transportation commission. The staff view is the opposite, that we're looking really for more focus on transit specifically versus everything related to transportation. So what we're recommending is changing the name of it to transit, restructuring it a bit, and really embracing our client base, our customers. So having, for example, students be appointed to the transit board and then paratransit as well as another critical customer base. So
I think that's a good idea, except I would not want it as narrow as the task force, the transit task force. We need to have members of the general public on that.
Well, we're going to eliminate the transit task force, and this will take
right.
that over with some, I think we're just adding some students to the broad representation.
Okay.
Stormwater Advisory Commission, after tonight, its mission is accomplished, is that right?
Well, I sure hope so.
Okay.
If I can throw that out there, I believe the purpose for which they were created has culminated in an action that's on the agenda tonight, and depending on where we go with that, it really seems like mission accomplished to me. And so we're recommending that at this point, you know, continuing on with that commission would be a scenario where we're in search of something to do rather than. So if issues come up, and I know there will be issues that come up, this seems like a task force approach might be more beneficial to the council than having a standing commission. So at this point, the staff view is mission accomplished, thank you, and we'll reconstitute a task force if we need more advice moving forward.
There is, however, one more issue that the advisory board would like to work on even after we pass the stormwater. I would like to see them stay together long enough to do that one last thing.
What is the one last thing?
Subdividing a lot.
What is it?
Subdividing a lot.
I think it really has to do with highly impervious lots. We're talking, there's a variety of them they had showed staff at various times. We're talking probably between 85% and 100% impervious, and the difficulties with getting them to be revitalized and some concerns there. and how to address that either outside of the current stormwater structure so it can go forward and have it be a piece that kind of stands alone so that we can address a really difficult issue but not have it kind of interfere with the other current version.
So this isn't this particular issue is not going to result in a total overhaul of the stormwater ordinance.
No. So your recommendation will be to continue this for a limited period of time.
Yes.
Do we put a time limit on it, or do we just wait till that particular report's back on that particular issue?
Yeah, time limit to that issue.
Okay. 6 months.
Fine. 3 months, 6 months, that's fine.
Okay.
I think it can be resolved pretty readily.
Okay.
And so once that resolution of that issue, let us then eliminate this 10.
Right.
All right. We'll make that clear this time. U.S. Columbia Commissioning Committee, I had a meeting today with Ann Moore and former Chief Margraf. This is a group that is highly committed.
Right.
I understand staff believes it should be more of a service organization.
If I might, we want to do one or the other, right? Right now, it's neither.
Right.
But we spend staff time supporting what effectively is not really a commission. And so our view is to reflect what happens today, what it is now, is not related to any core business, meaning it's not attached to a department or a service line the way most boards and commissions are. And it wasn't established by you don't appoint members to it. It doesn't have agendas that I know of.
Well, the mayor makes appointments. Right.
The legislation, the resolution says the mayor makes appointments, but I can tell you that there hasn't been a formal at a meeting.
Well, I guess what I'm going to recommend is that what I told them is that they need to tighten up their processes, their organization, and it needs to be put together like a city commission and run like a city commission.
Well, that's
there are some very committed people in here, and I'd like to give an opportunity for them to
to
make that change.
Say from the staff, they clearly these are an effective group. They're committed. They do good work. We would just like to either see them, you know, they're almost like a Kiwanis or
right,
or
right.
They have legs. They have stature. They're doing something in the community. We're not sure they need city government attachment to do that. We don't support it in any way financially that I know of, other than staff time. So. The view of the staff is either let's call it what it is, a independent service organization, or let's make it a real commission with an ordinance that establishes it, creates membership, has real.
I told them I would advocate for them, understanding that we need to have follow through on that, right? And we obviously have the opportunity 6 months, a year from now, to change our mind on that.
We can put them on the six-month list.
We could look for maybe some bylaws or something.
Okay. Landscape Tree Board, no action. Intercultural Council, no action. Land Preservation.
I have a comment on the Intercultural Council. No action. The comment here is that our sister cities and the annual diversity celebration covers this area, but it really doesn't. Sister cities is between Columbia and international cities, and this is really talking about local intercultural, and I think the diversity one-day celebration doesn't cover it either. So I'd like to give the Visioning Commission an opportunity to expand on that and make their argument for it. That's just the comment I'd like to make.
Well, staff is recommending no action, but you're going to ask the Visioning Commission to
flush that out,
right?
Why it's important, and come back to council if they think it's important.
Does that require action, or is that just going to be a recommendation that you can make? Why don't you just make that recommendation?
Yeah,
to make that recommendation.
All right, and that can be sort of okay. Land Preservation Authority, no recommended action.
Yes, our view on this is. And we've had one conversation about this previously, is, you know, the private sector, well, I should say the non-governmental space, does a great job with this nationwide. Think of the nature conservancies, There are many wildlife funds, et cetera, that exist to hold green space. So I know we have local organizations like the Green Belt Coalition and others that. So the staff thinking is rather than try to create something as a city government commission, that we really instead partner with these other organizations to accomplish the same ends.
On the next four, Regional Science Technology Network, Community Educational Facilities Commission, Natural Resources Committee, Transportation Advisory Commission, you're recommending no action on any of those.
That's right. Generally, due to the fact that other boards and commissions are already working on those concepts or in that space, or so the first two are that, really, and then that's it. And then the Natural Resources Committee is kind of overlaps. We had a hard time telling the difference between Land Preservation and Natural Resources Committee. We have done some of that work with GIS to record, you know, the natural resources that we have, the tree count that you all saw in the council. So I feel like there's not a real driving need.
We'll go through these and make motions as appropriate during the report section of the meeting tonight.
That'd be fantastic.
Good. I think staff did a great job with this. I'm very, very pleased at the depth of analysis. Anything else before we take a little break before the meeting starts at 7? Let's take a break and start promptly at 7.